From the Word of God, Exodus chapter 33, beginning at verse 7. Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the door, at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose and worshiped, each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you've not let me know whom you'll send with me. Yet you've said, 'I know you by name, and you have found grace in my sight.' Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people." And God said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." So the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." And Moses said, "Please show me your glory." Then God said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live." And the Lord said, "Here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of a rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. What do you believe is the greatest miracle of the Lord in your life? No question in my mind, the greatest miracle for me is that I can know Him. Anything else He does in my life and in my impossibilities is an added bonus. Just to be able to talk with the Lord of the universe, and experience His love and be guided by Him is wonder for me. That seems impossible, but it happens every day. One of the incredible things about that statement is we cannot know God until He chooses to reveal Himself to us. In the Methodist Church, we call this prevenient grace, the grace that goes before. God sets the stage. God does everything that's needed, everything that's necessary, and calls us to Himself so that we can come to Him, so that we can find Him and be one with Him. left to ourselves, our minds are closed, our wills are in bondage, our emotions are blocked. But because of the grace of God that goes before, He draws us near to Him. We want to go to Him because He draws us near to Him. And the desire to know God is His gift to us. And that's the gift that the Lord called Moses and the people of Israel to receive at Sinai. He summoned Moses to the top of the mountain to reveal Himself to him. And He revealed Himself in the thick darkness of the cloud and fire and lightning and thunder. And then He disclosed His righteousness to the people in the Ten Commandments as a right basis, as the basis of a right relationship with Him and with one another. And then gradually, little by little, God reveals other directions for His people. Still unskilled in the basis of health and cleanliness and the management of life, He gave specific regulations for daily life. And you read those regulations, you read those directions, and you think, well, God just doesn't want Israel, and by reflection us, to have fun, to enjoy life. But think back to where they were and what was happening and what they were starting to do. God's giving them directions to keep them safe, to keep them healthy, to keep them well. He told them how to worship Him, how to atone with sacrifices for their sin, how to build a tabernacle where He could be worshipped. And then God pledged His faithfulness in a covenant and promised to be His God, to be their God, and to bless them as His people. And still, Moses longs to know God more personally. Now, there's difficult months as Moses discovers a growing understanding of the Lord and what He wants. And as the Lord shows more and more of Himself to him. And the writer of Exodus says the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. Now let me stop here for just a moment, because there's an apparent contradiction in Scripture that at first reading seems to be likely. In verse 11, the writer says they spoke face to face. And in verse 20, the Lord says, you can't see my face and live. Now, as Paul Harvey used to say, I'm going to tell you more than I know. The Hebrew word for face can be a literal face, or it can be used figuratively. So in the first instance, it's a metaphor for the communion that God and Moses had. And in the second instance, he's talking about His appearance. It's a direct answer to the question, can I see your face? And the Lord says, no, that would kill you. Now, when the Lord tells Moses it's time to depart from Sinai and go on to the promised land, Moses sends up a prayer that has tremendous implications for us today. The Lord wants to give us what He gave Moses: the assurance of His presence and the gift of His glory. I like the way Moses prays here. It's like so many of my prayers, perhaps so many of your prayers. He starts and keeps talking. Moses starts and keeps talking until he finally figures out what he wants to say. Sometimes we just start and we're saying words, and thoughts are tumbling out till we can get to the point where we know what our heart wants to say. And Moses begins with a complaint. You say to me, bring up this people, but you haven't told me who's going to go with us, who's going to go with me. And then he says, now if I found grace in your sight, show me your way that I may know you and find grace. The Lord gave Moses the freedom to open up his heart completely and to say what was on his mind. And Moses progresses from complaint to the desire for communion. He wants to know his God. And there's that deep longing inside of all of us to tear down the barriers that we've erected and to let God know us as we are, and for us to know God as He is. And the Lord's response to Moses is one of the greatest promises in the Old Testament. People through the ages have staked their lives on it. Martyrs have faced death with it on their lips. And the troubled have grasped onto it as the only assurance. The Lord said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And that word for presence is the same word for face that we've already seen in those two verses. God saying, "I'm going to be there." It's going to be like friend to friend, face to face. It's going to be as though there we are together. And the face of the Lord with His watchful eye will not leave His people. He says, "I will be with you." And I like the way Moses responds. "If you don't go with us, don't take us from here. How will it be known that we're your people if you don't go with us?" In other words, if you don't go with us, I don't want to go. We're going to stay right here. Nothing has meaning without God. No place is safe or satisfying without Him. I wish I had a dollar for every time I heard my grandma say, "I don't know what people do without the Lord." I'd have a big stack of dollars. And how true that statement. If you don't go with us, we're not going. Don't make us leave if you're not with us. And now Moses knows the power and the holiness and the righteousness and the compassion and the forgiveness of the Lord. And not only that, now he is assured that wherever he goes, God's going to be with him. And the psalmist will write years later, "Where can I go to hide from your presence? If I take the wings of the morning and fly as far as the east is removed from the west, behold, you're there. If I go to the highest heights or the deepest depths, behold, you're there." And then Moses blurts out the desire of his heart, "Please, Lord, show me your glory." And in a way, what he's asking is, "Lord, I want to know you better. I want to love you for yourself. I want to realize and affect a heart-to-heart intimacy with you." Some folks say that's audacious. Hardly. The Lord has been the instigator. The Lord has been the initiator of that desire. And that tells us something we need to know and be sure of more than anything else. God not only wants to know us, He wants us to know and love and worship Him. To be in fellowship, to be in union, to be in communion with Him. And the Lord says to Moses, "I'll make all my goodness pass before you. I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I'll be gracious to those to whom I'll be gracious. And I'll have compassion on those to whom I will have compassion." And that word goodness means consistency and constancy. God is telling Moses, "I am unchangeable, I'm reliable, I'm dependable. I am the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow." And in a world of change, God can be counted on to be what He always has been and what He has said He will be and what He is. His mind doesn't change. His mind doesn't fluctuate about us. The Lord says, "I'll be gracious." Oh, that grace. The unlimited, unchanging, unmoving, unmotivated love of God. It's not dependent on our performance. It's not dependent on our instigation. It's not dependent on our adequacy. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. God loves because God is love. His compassion is the length He will go to reach us and forgive us and to make us right with Him. Look for a moment away from Moses and Mount Sinai to Jesus and Mount Calvary. Jesus is the glory of God for us to see and behold and experience and receive. All that God was promising to Moses is revealed to us in Jesus Christ. Paul said to the Corinthians, "It is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Paul's describing what Moses was experiencing there on Mount Sinai. Moses beheld the glory of the Lord. He had to put a veil over his face when he came down and got amongst the people because the radiance of God was reflected in him. Jesus Christ is the unfading glory of God. He not only is beheld, He comes within us. God's goodness and grace and power are implanted in us because and through Jesus Christ. And the prayer, "Show me your glory," means not only does the Lord promise to go with us, but also He desires to live in us. The glorious truth is that God creates a hunger within us and a thirst for Him, and then by His grace satisfies that longing that He's given us. So many of life's impossibilities center in the problems and perplexities we humans face with our inadequacies. Looking at Moses speaking to God gives us a new perspective. We don't need just an intervention in our problems. We need an infusion of the Lord into our inner persons. Moses received the promise that the Lord would be with him. And we have the promise that He'll make His home in us. Not just beside, above, around, but within us. We wonder why we claim so little of the glory that's offered to us. We struggle in our own strength. We try to get by on our own initiative. And that's why we can identify with Israel's reluctance to trust that the Lord's presence would be with them. And we know so much more of God's grace and glory than they did. But sometimes we're afraid to claim the promise of power that He offers. And that power is revealed. That power is demonstrated. That power is given through the cross of Jesus Christ and is memorialized at the table that we share today.